Finovate showcases cutting-edge banking and financial technology through a global conference series featuring short-form demos and thought leadership. Now, the conversation continues on the Finovate podcast.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Finovate podcast. Joining me today, we have Brian Lee, President and CEO of Landings Credit Union. Brian, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with me today.
Thanks for having me, Greg. This is great.
So we're bringing on Brian to talk about the credit union ecosystem in part because we're launching a new project at Finovate Spring, a special credit union-only session coming up on day three of our San Francisco event. But before we get into the tech side of things, Brian, let's start by having you give us a quick background on yourself and Landings Credit Union.
Yeah, I've been with Landings for nearly 10 years now as the CEO for about the last four. Started out as CFO, and before that have a background as both a financial regulator and public accounting. And that's how I ended up over here. Landings Credit Union, we're in our 70th year. We started as Tempe Schools Credit Union in 1953 and have been serving the community out here ever since.
Wow. So you've certainly seen a few different sides of the credit union space as you've come up the ranks there. Before we jump into the tech side, can you talk a little bit about some of the recent initiatives that you've been working on? I know there are a couple of big ones.
Yeah. Last year, we received the dementia-friendly business designation, which was big for us. It's something that we've been working on for a while to try to find a way to serve more people that are dealing with Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia. And so what it really does is just give us the tools to be able to reach out to the community and members and find a way to serve both those dealing with Alzheimer's dementia and their caregivers, which are growing quite a bit. In Arizona, we are actually the fastest growing state for new cases of Alzheimer's. So it's a big deal here for us.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Can you talk about where that designation comes from? Is it an organization who has to go and kind of certify those types of designations?
Yeah, we're fortunate to operate here in a couple of communities that are dementia friendly. So through the city of Mesa, which is a large city here outside of Phoenix, they're the ones that certified us as a dementia friendly business. From there, there's a national organization and also international that certify those dementia friendly communities. So it all kind of boils up through there. But that's where we are lucky to have those resources and connections here through our communities.
Yeah, certainly you can imagine the need there, given the rate of dementia going on in the area. Talk to me about the other piece, the Juntos Avanzamos piece, which I know you and I were talking about before we actually hit record here.
Yeah, that's something we're very proud about as well. A few years ago, we really started the initiative to see how we could, you know, reach out to the Hispanic community out here, which is a population we already serve. And through that, we looked at more opportunities to add products or services or special ways that we can reach out to the community to make sure that we're building relationships and creating opportunities for them. And the Juntos Avanzamos designation through Inclusive was one of those ways that we've kind of had on our radar for quite a long time. And just recently this last month received that designation. So we're happy with, you know, what it's taken to get there, but also now going forward, what that means, you know, for us to put out our commitment to be able to serve the Hispanic and immigrant communities here.
Yeah. And again, both of these make sense, I think, from the standpoint of who is in your neighborhood. I think hopefully a lot of our listeners will think about this and extrapolate into the region that they're based in, the demographics of the community that they serve. But it makes it's so obvious to see how both of those would be big priorities for you. Now let's talk about the tech behind these, because obviously on the one hand, the initiative is designed to serve customers more effectively and these specific types of customers. But obviously there does need to be some tech behind it. Can you talk a little bit about the tech capabilities you had to go out and source in order to bring some of these initiatives into the real world?
Yeah, I think, first of all, we wanted to look in there and say, hey, once we have these designations, once we're kind of putting ourselves out there that these are the people we serve, we didn't want to just say, hey, we're open for business, come in. And so part of it was looking at whether through our core provider right now or other tech companies, looking for ways, how can we comb through our data now and find these new data points that we're looking for and now aggregate and say, let's be the ones that we're going out and we're reaching out to people, whether from our own data or community data that's out there, how do we use that to be able to serve more people? And so that's kind of been our first one. And then from there, I'd say on the dementia-friendly side, we're looking at providers that have resources, right? How can we be that place where people come to us as a trusted partner that we can then point them in the right direction? So we're talking with some great tech companies there. And then I'd say on the Juntos Avanzamos side, a lot of times, every time I talk to someone when we're looking for new tech or new fintech that we're talking to is, do you have that available in Spanish? And that's something going forward that always comes up. And most of them do. I think that's been a great tool for us to be able to say, hey, now we've got this great new thing, this great new API, this great new app that is available in Spanish, and it's translated the right way. It's not just, you know, thrown together. So those are a couple of things we're looking on the tech side.
Yeah. So interesting that you didn't talk too much about the KYC and compliance side of things. I think that's frequently where this conversation around how do I go out and engage people who are in this country as immigrants or who are maybe unsure of what types of ID they actually need to have. How are you able to kind of get over that hurdle? Because I'm guessing that's got to be a decent sized challenge when you're talking about people who don't have the ID documentation that you're probably used to getting.
Yeah, that's been huge. I think that KYC part was something that took us a while to make sure that we were comfortable with. Once again, I come from risk management. I come from the compliance side as well, in addition to accounting. And so that was big for us to make sure that we were doing it the right way once we started. And so a lot of that was education. It was educating our own staff. It was creating the right policies. Two of the big parts of being a Juntos Avanzamos credit union are accepting alternative identification to open accounts and then providing loans to members that have ITINs instead of social security numbers. And so we had to get comfortable with both the compliance side and the risk that we're taking, but also saying, hey, how do we open this up and do that? And so, you know, we're looking forward to, I think, more opportunities of how can technology help us on that side as well to be able to identify those opportunities and make it easier for our staff as well that are on the front lines of trying to make those determinations, that they have the right tools they can to make the right choices as well.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting piece about the frontline workers, because getting them to understand what the organization wants to do is obviously not always the easiest thing, but hopefully it's something which, with a little bit of explanation, a little bit of support and education, it doesn't become a major challenge for you. So I know that both of these are relatively recent, but are there any results you can talk about in terms of what you're seeing and how the community is responding to these initiatives?
Yeah, so far we're fairly fresh on the ITIN lending side, but so far that's been a great way to provide some outreach and getting a lot of interest. On the alternative identification side for opening new accounts, we've been doing that for a while, and it's been huge. It's something that I think builds relationships. It gives an opportunity for people that have maybe been turned down or haven't had that opportunity to open an account, a checking account, savings account, that we now can be their primary financial institution. And so that's been huge for us to offer and really build trust here in the community.
Yeah. So I'd like to switch gears a little bit now and talk about the search for tech providers, because I think that's another really crucial piece. A lot of the financial institutions that I talk to have an idea of how they want to go and grow. They have a project that they want to undertake. They know they need tech help, either new technologies or people to update their existing technologies. And the question around how do I actually get started is, I think, one of the most challenging ones to answer. So what did you do when you were really beginning that search for new tech providers? How did you go about it?
Well, a couple of ways. I'd say kind of my top three of how I do it is, one, through conferences such as Finovate and other credit union or other conferences that I attend, is building those relationships. And there's a lot of those, you know, people that I've talked to that may not have something that I need right now, but it's keeping up that relationship and saying, hey, now we're doing this new thing. Hey, here's the company I call for that. And I've talked with them. We've met with them before. Two is kind of my network of other credit unions or even community banks, where we are able to kind of share and say, okay, who's in this space already? Who can I talk to? Who has these great experiences? That's been huge for me. And then finally, just other people in the industry, our kind of friend Theo Lau and others that I talk to regularly of who they know. And they've been able to open my eyes to people that weren't even on my radar that maybe weren't attending these conferences or weren't, you know, doing business in my area. That there's a lot of people that are doing amazing things. And so it's great to, those are kind of my top three of how I kind of find those people. And I like to build those relationships and look for those really lasting relationships that'll help us along the way.
It's really interesting to note that all three of those really come down to a very human search. And I think this is one of the areas that tech providers sometimes overlook because they live in a world of technology and they obviously spend a lot of time writing their web pages, looking at their marketing emails and things like that, you know, pieces that are meant to be consumed electronically. There sometimes is a hesitancy to engage in this kind of interpersonal style, but it really is so crucial. And obviously we can't all ask Theo Lau every question that we have, but she is, you know, connectors like her certainly are very vital as well. I should mention here that Theo did put us in touch with each other. So thank you, Theo, for that. I'm curious about, you know, the advice that you have for credit union executives who are looking to try similar things at their own organizations. Are there any pitfalls that you can help people avoid or crucial learnings that you've had that can hopefully help others kind of get started, get over some of those initial hurdles?
I'd say really be sincere in your efforts to do these initiatives and to do it the right way. I think there's a lot of steps you can skip in an effort to get there quickly. And that's something that we were very intentional about, is that we didn't want to look like it was not authentic or that we were just doing it to, you know, get new business. But I think there's a right way to do things. And sometimes that takes being patient, that takes a little time and making sure you're doing it right. And so I think just having that goal in mind of saying, hey, here's where we want to be. And then, you know, lining out those steps of how we're going to get there without trying to skip there and just get there quickly.
Sure, sure. No, that makes a ton of sense. And on the other side of the equation, obviously, as you were going out and engaging your own search, you must have encountered quite a few different fintechs. And do you have any advice for those executives who are listening in, who are looking to engage more fruitfully with the credit union ecosystem in terms of how they can make themselves stand out, how they can kind of jump to the top of the list of potential suppliers, aside, of course, from coming to conferences like Finovate, which I feel like I'm contractually obligated to plug as a part of this question.
Right. Well, I think part of that is like I'd mentioned earlier, I think relationships are huge to me. And I think for a lot of credit unions is, you know, do these amazing fintechs out there that have these great products, do you kind of understand our unique challenges as well? And then a lot of us are very unique in the communities we serve and the people we serve. And it's, are you able to take the time and ask the right questions to us to understand how you can better, you know, tailor what you offer that we can help our members as well. And from there, just being able to build long-term relationships. Like I said, that's just huge to me. Like we've been here 70 years. I'm not going to be here for 70 years more leading it, but that's kind of my goal, is make sure that this organization keeps going long-term as well. So we not only are looking at, you know, what helps us to compete or provide that next great thing right now, but how does that set us up for the future to have this great new, what's the next, you know, next great thing that's going to keep us going for a long time. And so looking for partners that understand that and they're willing to really, you know, walk that road with us is huge to me.
Yeah, it's something that we hear quite a bit, but I know it's really difficult for folks on the innovation side because from their standpoint, they obviously have to go and build new technologies, which is time consuming and labor intensive. But when it comes to really taking the time to understand your potential clients, you can't overstate enough the value that the time you spend really learning that organization. And when you talk about a company, an organization like Landings, who's got 70 years of history coming on that one side of the equation, and you've got a company on the other side that's only been around for a couple of years, it can be difficult to switch your headspace and think, you know, what are they really bringing to this? How the weight of the historical side of it is massive. And so, you know, obviously you're not necessarily looking for partners that are going to be 70-year partnerships, but you want to find partners who respect that history, that tradition, and who are going to be around long enough to make sure that, you know, whenever they leave, if the partnership should happen to fail, that they're leaving in a good spot. So it's I think really difficult sometimes for innovators to think in that way, but so, so valuable when they are able to. And it looks like we have time for one more question. And this is really kind of just an open air question. What is on the horizon for Landings? If we were to take away, you know, such mundane constraints like budget, team capacity, number of hours in the day, you know, the minutiae, what would you love to be working on next?
I think to me, it's how do we reach more people? And that's been that question that prompted as well of, you know, getting our dementia friendly designation, Juntos Avanzamos and others, is, you know, who's being left behind when we make changes. And so as even though we have to evolve, we want to make sure, hey, we're not leaving people behind with what we're doing. And so those are big things for us. So we continue to talk about, you know, who else can we help? And it's tough. And we want to do everything all at once. And those are the constraints. And so if I didn't have those and say, okay, I can provide all the tools, I can find those right fintechs to partner with, that we're able to reach out to more people, and even a credit union our size that has a smaller footprint, that through technology, that through different tools, that we can make ourselves bigger than we are. I think that's that great benefit that we have of working together, and you know, as techs and in the banking world, that we can reach more people than we have in the past, because we can rely now on these new tools. Now, on the other side is making sure that we have the right values behind it, the right policies, the right everything, so that we're not just kind of expanding, but putting out a worse product out there. And so that's my big concern, is how do we take what we do well and put it out there and create something even better together?
Yeah, and I think it's you know, clear to see the passion that you're able to bring to it. I love both of the initiatives that we talked about today, and I want to thank you for taking the time to chat with me. As I mentioned at the top of the episode, we do have a credit union spotlight session coming up at Finovate Spring. We are partnering with TrueStage Ventures on that. If you are listening to this as a member of a credit union and would like to take advantage of that session, you can reach out to us at spring@finovate.com. Or if you're on the other side of the equation, you're a fintech innovator who is looking at credit union specifically as an area that you want to target, please do reach out to us as well. Our hope is that we're going to be able to bring the two sides of the community together for some very fruitful and productive conversations. And of course, there'll be the rest of Finovate Spring as well on the first 2 days. So check it all out, finovatespring.com. Email us, spring@finovate.com. And Brian, thanks again for taking the time to join me. It's been a really great conversation.
Thank you so much, Greg.
The Finovate podcast is produced by Informa Connect in association with Provoke.fm Media. Check out Finovate.com for information on Finovate's upcoming shows and to learn how you can get involved. The discount code Finovate Podcast will save you 20% on tickets to all of our events. And you can email us at info@finovate.com for information on sponsoring, speaking, or demoing. Thanks for listening.